2013 will always be remembered as the year we discovered horse meat in our lasagna, the year the Pope quit, the year men were allowed to marry other men, and the moment nerds all over the world had been waiting for years, the 50th anniversary of British sci-fi series Doctor Who. But what the mass media forgot to cover as they reminisced about the year just gone by was that on August 10th, 2013, the Compass Network was born. This is Compass Echoes, the official podcast of the Compass Network. I'm Dan Taylor, and joining me on this podcast is my fellow network director, Kyle West. Kyle, for those that might be listening and that have never heard of us before, what exactly is the Compass Network?
Oh, it's many a thing, Daniel. Many a grand idea. It's basically a website which cover podcasts, audio dramas, scripted material, video dramas, video comedies, YouTube vlogs. I mean, it initially started out, you know, in that section of the internet where people used to just like to write scripts, their own scripts, which I know to some people is a crazy idea. Why would you want to write a TV script if it's not ever going to be on TV? But it's for a lot of people who wanted to perhaps eventually end up in that medium for career, or if it was just a hobby. And Compass was something which was taking it, you know, and taking that but going in a completely different direction and saying, well, there's a lot more to the entertainment medium than there used to be 10 years ago online. You know, that script culture, which has carried on, hasn't always matured with the needs of the internet, the needs of people's entertainment, you know. And Compass is, it's all of that. It's educational as well, you know. We do a lot of stuff to help people develop their ideas, particularly in the script section, where RJ Alden Lackey's doing a lot of work with people to talk about, you know, diversity in Hollywood and things like that. And then, of course, us with the podcasts, you know, we're offering help and assistance. And it's an entertainment site, as I see it, but it's also an educational one as well to help you get into that entertainment.
Yeah, I think the easiest kind of bracket it falls under is it's a website for web entertainment. You know, you've got the alternative to your television and your movies and everything that you can get in the real world, as it were. And as terms of our little corner of the internet is concerned, you know, we specialise in web entertainment, which I think is all very exciting because there's lots to explore and there's a little bit for everybody, I think. Mm. We just hosted our first ever Pitch Frenzy, which was the first thing we did in 2014, which followed the Logline contest, which we also did at the tail end of last year and over into the new year. Lots has come out of that, lots of audio projects, some scripted projects as well, which I think brings us to announcing the first one. Did you want to do the honours?
Yeah, I'll go on this one.
Yeah.
You can. The first project we're picking up is The Black Hole, which is an audio podcast from Tony Black. Just to give you, if you haven't seen the pit, so it's very short, so I'll read it out for you. But join infamous writer and chicken lover Tony Black as he ventures into his very own personal podcast, The Black Hole. He's primarily going to talk about entertainment he loves, movies, TV, books, comics, games, etc., but he may also venture into discussing his life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, though not the Will Smith film. So yeah, but he's from, you know, Tony's from the Midlands. He makes a joke about that in his pitch. He's got a wonderful Brummy accent. And for me, to people who don't know how we selected the projects that we took on, we did there's three of us who run the website, so it was just a majority vote wins, basically. And Tony got three yeses, and we know Tony from doing previous podcast work. That's obviously what went in his favor. And I think Tony has a lot of good views on entertainment, I think. Mm. And he's not one of these people who would immediately jump out to bash something down.
Yeah,
you see a lot of that on the internet.
What I like about Tony is he can go, yeah, I can see what you mean there, but for me, I just fucking love it.
Clarify, we've listened to it. We've listened to a pilot that Tony also produced to aid with his pitch. And so when you say you love it, Dan's obviously heard the first episode. Mm. But yeah, I think he's going to cover a lot of subjects which a lot of people who visit our website will be interested in.
Yeah, his first episode actually is coming out very, very soon, isn't it?
Yeah, Thursday. Of this, which is the 9th of January. Yep. He'll be debuting the first episode. I won't spoil what's in there, but I think sci-fi fans will be happy.
Yep.
And I'm looking forward to, hopefully Tony's going to bring, he mentions that he might start discussing his life and such on there. I think Tony, if you follow Tony online at all, he's at a point in his life where I think he's really starting to review what his life is, you know, and what he's getting from it and what he's putting into it. And so I think that'll be a really interesting part of his show as well, is sort of seeing over the course of the next year you know, where his life is taking him, because he's not what he won't hold it back. He's quite happy to say online whatever's going on in real life, so away from the computer. So yeah, I'm looking forward to the Black Hole. And he's got a lot of podcast experience as well, so I think what you're going to get right away is a very polished show.
Yeah, very quickly he gets into his stride, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's not afraid of the mic. You know, he's done it. He's done many of them. Probably helped pioneer the concept, actually, in this part of the internet that we live in. So, I'm looking forward to getting the Black Hole on air as a Thursday. It's the pilot on Thursday. I think you'll get the proper first episode from him probably the following week. So.
Back to kind of Compass. The first 6 months has passed us by. It all seemed to go very quickly. What experiences and lessons did you take from those opening few months of Compass's existence?
I think, oh gosh, I'm trying to think when we recorded the first Compass Echoes, which must have been
July, I think, was it?
Must have been July, yeah.
It was before we actually launched, wasn't it? It was the run-up.
And I think there was, in that show we talked about the dates of when we started working on Compass and all that, and I think, I can't remember off the top of my head, I won't dwell on those, but I think it was around April, wasn't it? Or May.
I almost feel like it's been really almost a year, really.
We're closing on it, aren't we? Yeah, we're getting there. We're getting on that year. And I think it's been a successful launch. It was Compass was always a soft launch. We had material, we had content at the start.
Yeah.
But it was very much a soft launch, you know. And I always hated that we opened with just a forum.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I personally, I hated it. We fixed that now. You know, we'll get onto the new stuff we've done later. But, you know, we've got a homepage there now, which stands us in a better sort of position amongst our competitors, if we do really have a competitor for the kind of stuff that we're producing. I don't know. I think it's just about finding a foot in. Anyone can go online. You get the VS network. We don't even use the term virtual series doing it, Compass. Yeah. But all those VS networks, you see people, if they don't get an idea picked up somewhere, they start a VS network. And if I then went to that person and said, what is your network about? They wouldn't be able to tell. They wouldn't be able to tell me.
No.
Because there's no real idea behind the network. We've seen the launch of other places like BZN, which I will mention because it's Tony's, but otherwise I wouldn't want to give him publicity. Black Zero network. There's a fundamental idea behind that network, so you know what it is. And I think the same is true of Compass. Well, what it was before, we don't.
Tony would be first to admit that he's launched his own network previously and it didn't work.
Yeah,
a lot to do with the fact that he didn't have the time to put into it that he wanted to. And I think he spoke about that before, but also maybe because it, as you're saying, it didn't have a clear cut plan of what it wanted to be. It was just another
one. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think in many a way, we don't have to mention 10 or the entertainment network much now because, you know, that essentially is what Compass was. It's a new site, but it's come from 10. And I think in many ways, 10, you guys knew what you wanted there.
Yeah.
But you didn't have a strong, a core idea that Compass has got. And I think that's what's put us in a good position. We're, like I say, we haven't been open for 5 months now, or thereabouts. And there's still a long way to go. But I can start seeing, as we approach that 6 months of having the doors open, we're starting to see the shape of the website come now, and the stuff we want to do is really starting to come through. We never wanted to be a difficult place for people to come and produce material, and I think with the logline competition and the pitch frenzy, we've done that.
Mm-hmm.
We did. Okay, should we have done them earlier? Who knows? But we've put them at a good time now, getting to that 5 month period, and I just think the educational side is really taking off.
Mm-hmm.
And we're starting to get, there's more attention comes to us now, and social media, for example, we're getting a lot of discussion. Compass related discussion happens through social media, not through the forums. You know, I think we're all over the place, aren't we? If you could group all of our conversations and discussions that we have on various parts then to one website, then Compass would look like one of the fucking busiest ones of all our competition, like, you know. But first of all, I think we've done really well. I think we've got new people. That was the key thing for us, wasn't it, Dan? It was,
yes, yeah.
We didn't want the same people who visit all these sites coming to us all the time. We've got new names.
Well, we didn't want to be competing, I guess is the word. We didn't want to feel like we were in competition with ultimately our friends. That's what they are. And that isn't what Compass was and isn't what we want it to be. We don't want it to be a competition for other people. It's not what it's about. It's about actually holding hands and going, let's work together and, you know, produce something that you want to do, because lots of stuff that's appearing now through both the Logline competition and Pitch Frenzy is stuff that actually these guys wouldn't be producing anywhere else, because there
You wouldn't
is
have had some of these pitches made anywhere else.
no, because either actually going, actually, you know what, I want to give this a go. Particularly the audio projects, have come from people that actually have been pitching lots of script stuff, in some cases unsuccessfully, for a year or two now, and actually, they've come in here and gone, actually, you know what, I want to give something else a go, and I hope they find that actually they're really good at it. I think one of our smaller aims was actually embracing this internet life that we lead. I think sometimes, and I'm guilty of it myself, a few years ago, of almost being embarrassed about what I was doing online and hiding it from people in the real life world. Whereas now that we hope through Compass, people are starting to share what they're doing, some great stuff, some really intelligent stuff, and stuff that a lot, I think they'll be surprised, a lot of people will be interested in, their friends and their family. And the idea is actually we're encouraging people to start sharing these on Twitter and on Facebook, and not hiding behind pseudonyms and fake names, and just being themselves and embracing this as part of their life.
I forgot about the username thing, actually. Yeah, it was a case of we wanted people to, even if it wasn't the real names, it was the pen names, wasn't it? We didn't want to start seeing Bad Boy 1968 or something like that. It's people, at least a name we can associate to someone as opposed to a username. Because I feel like when you have all these websites now which can link to your Facebook account and such, I think the days of usernames is starting to very slowly but surely
Well,
sort of
YouTube,
disappear, isn't it?
YouTube themselves, it's not been a popular decision, but they're almost not forcing people to use their own names, but they're connecting with Google Plus and stuff like that, and actually,
Your photos and such appear on there now, don't they, with the comments.
yeah, exactly. Moving on to our next announcement,
Big
again,
announcement.
another project which has come and been picked up through the Pitch Frenzy. It's actually from one of our very own. We've decided to pick up Worlds by RJ Old and Wacky, which is a script series. And I've actually read the first few installments, as it were, of the project, and it's brilliant. And I know you guys will love it. And I think he's going to proceed with that reasonably soon. It's a webisode format, so they're nice and short and easy to read. The premise goes a bit like this. December 31st, 5 minutes to midnight, in a small town in Canada, a young girl's dreams of adventure. In downtown New York, a grieving mother yearns for hope. On the colorful planet of Grenade, a wearied warrior begs for peace. In the hidden spaces of a small spaceship, a young man plans for revenge. At the hearts of the world, an ancient force begins an assault that will destroy the universe. Welcome to the new year. So it kind of embraces everything that actually we're trying to do at the moment with our hashtag the new year.
Although what we didn't realise at the time, because Alden suggested that particular hashtag, was that he was clearly trying to find a way to generate more interest
It
in
is so
his
funny.
project.
He was basically trying to subconsciously get us to pick him up.
We were like, yeah, it's the new year, yeah, definitely. We'll definitely pick that up, mate. Yeah, fucking hell. It fits perfectly. He did get called on
Yeah.
The Beautiful Game, a weekly football podcast by the Compass Network. To listen, go to thecompassnet.com or search The Beautiful Game on iTunes. Join in the discussions on Twitter by following soccer_podcast.
And the next one, do you want to take it away?
It's Animation Damnation from Patrick Moore. It's an audio podcast. Essentially, the idea of this show is that Patrick is just going to talk about cartoons past and present, I think from all over the countries in the world, American anime from Japan, obviously animation is a big thing over there. He'll even cover CGI, so maybe we'll get Toy Story reviews, who knows. But he says no cartoon is safe. I think the idea is, I think right now he may be breaking up into seasons, at least his pitch says that, which is an interesting idea, certainly less time consuming than having to record one every week. he loves cartoons, and Patrick has been around for, that I've noticed, for the last year or so, maybe less, pitching script shows and such. And when this podcast pitch came in, I actually smiled a little bit, because as you said earlier about people trying something different to what they've been trying to get picked up and maybe not successfully do it, I thought this was something completely different from Patrick, and I'm interested to see how it goes. I'm not a big animation lover. I I don't even think I was as a kid, you know. It never really...
I wasn't, to be honest.
No, it was never something that I really... I think it part of it's probably from when I had money for my birthday or something, and I wanted to buy a videotape, and the only videotape I could get find in the shop was the Aristocats.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember watching it, and I remember just thinking, I don't like animation. I think that was where the decision got made for me. But I think Patrick's certain there's certainly an audience out there for Patrick's project, and I'm certainly happy to be able to pick him up as our third selection from the Pitch Frenzy.
Wonder Woman, written by Alex McKinnon. We're going to do a little review of that now. Kyle, what was your kind of opening thoughts, shall we say, on that script?
On the entire script?
Yeah, what did you like about it?
I thought the action scenes were very, very well written.
Yeah.
I'm not one of these people who will criticise something. I don't see the point, really, ripping something apart. And I wouldn't be able to do that with the script anyways, it was good. But, you know, for me, the positives were just like, the action was great. I couldn't fault the action.
Mm.
The scenes were very incredibly well written.
You know what's going on, don't you?
Yeah, you do. And I think visually you could tell that Alex had a very clear, he knew what it would look like on the screen. That was probably the strong point for me was the action scenes, personally.
Yeah. I was really surprised because I've got to be honest, I've never really seen anything Wonder Woman at all. It's not something that really interested me before now. And actually now I'm really interested in this whole world that he's opened me up to. And I guess it's obviously derivative. So, you know, it kind of has come from other people's ideas. But the kind of world that he painted in the script was brilliant. You know, I loved finding out about the kind of origins of the story, and which is kind of a natural thing for superheroes and kind of comic book screenplays to do in their first kind of films, I guess, is the way to say them. And I did feel a connection to Diana. I don't know how I imagined her in my head sometimes. And that was the difficulty, not knowing anything about Wonder Woman at all. It's not like I could immediately picture an actress or an actor, but I think that's almost a plus for me in the fact that I could actually make up my own image from what I was reading in the script. Tell us a little bit about the kind of story that he put together with this script.
It's essentially, it starts with Diana as a child. Mm-hmm. It develops, we see her as a grown-up. A man, obviously in Diana's Amazonian world, there's only women. And a man crashes on a ship into their island, and then sets off a chain of events, which results with Diana, or as Wonder Woman, as we come to know her, ends up going back to the real world, so to speak, with this man, and getting embroiled in what turns out is actually kind of like an ancient battle that's taking place in the modern day world, with, you know, evil spirits taking over people's bodies and such, and carrying out dastardly deeds just to create war on Earth, because they love their wars. And then the idea is then Diana is about how Wonder Woman becomes a hero, because there are probably some low points for the character in the script where she's not being much of a hero at all. And I, you know, fair play to Alex for that, actually, for saying that. Actually, I'm going to, you know, so there's a point in the script, there's a good 20-30 pages of the script where I personally was thinking, what is she doing?
Yeah, she's the bad guy in it.
Yeah, she's the bad guy, yeah. And fair play to him for that, because I think particularly in the first film, so to speak, you kind of, for a new hero, you often try to make him look great. It's normally the second film or something, isn't it, where they start doing shit which makes people look less favourite on them. But yeah, that was the general idea of the script. If I had... There were two issues I had, actually, with the material.
Yeah.
The main one for me was that the action scenes felt very much like a Hollywood blockbuster. Mm-hmm. But on the other side of that, I didn't think some of the other stuff lived up to that feel. There was I didn't think the opening was grand enough for what came in the rest of the script, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
But maybe that helped me ease me in as a reader to the action later on. There was times where I thought it felt more like a TV show pilot than it did a blockbuster movie. But then suddenly you have all these action scenes.
Yes.
And it was like, God, you couldn't imagine it being anywhere other than
nuclear
movie screen.
Nuclear warheads and floating through the sky on a...
You kind of think, for a script that's 120 pages long, or around that, it's crazy. But I kind of wanted an extra 30 pages in the first the first third of the script, just building character. Because once the action starts, it doesn't stop.
Yeah.
It just doesn't let off, does it? And no. I think my other issue...
I compare it to Man of Steel most recently. It didn't feel
very similar.
But it didn't feel in the fact that we're in Man of Steel. You were like, oh my god, just get the action over with. Like it was almost mindless action.
Yeah.
Whereas in this, it had a point. You know, it was driving the narrative forward, so it worked.
But do you know what I would have liked in it though?
What?
I would have liked just a little bit of that stuff from the first half of Man of Steel.
But you got a little bit of it, just not maybe the emotional stuff, I guess.
Yeah. We got a little bit there, but you could see Alex's what his intention was with the script. Yeah. There was a little bit where I just thought I would have loved another 30 pages or so just of
Russell Crowe popping up and
just get Russell Crowe in your script.
Don't know how you do that in a script, but get Russell Crowe in it.
Just name your character Russell. I'm going to do that for you, actually. I'm going to name a character Russell Crowe in the script I write. And my second, it was just a pet hate. And as I saw, I was getting towards the end of the script, and I could see that I was getting towards the last page, mm-hmm. and the action was still going on. I thought to myself, he's gone the popular Hollywood way now, and he's going to end it quite soon after the big battle's over.
Mm-hmm.
And that happens in a lot of films now, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And sure enough, I think it ended on the page, the final battle finished. And that was my little hate. I didn't feel like there was any payoff at the end.
Yeah, it did. Diana. But it did feel like we were going into sequel territory, didn't it?
Yeah, I mentioned about the TV pilot kind of idea as well, where, you know, he's setting up the next episode. And it did kind of feel like that. If this had been an actual movie, I would have left the cinema thinking, I'm a little bit... I would have enjoyed, but, you know, I would have think, God, there was no payoff
mm-hmm.
right at the end. You know, they didn't see her back with her mother, or we didn't see, you know, is she going to stay in the normal world now? There was no answer to this. Now, obviously, there's a sequel, Trinity, which comes out in, I think, three weeks, I think,
mm-hmm.
Which carries on from that. But some of the stuff I'm saying now, actually, maybe that just gets dealt with in the next one,
mm-hmm.
in which case I look like an idiot.
But, yeah, the follow-up to it, Trinity, is on February 1st. So watch out for that one. And if you are planning to read the Wonder Woman script, which I do recommend doing, read right to the end, because there is a little bit on the end which I wasn't expecting to see.
Post credits, which I didn't get that.
Did you not get it?
I didn't get it. Did I miss something? I felt like the whole thing that she was...
I don't want to spoil it. I'll have to tell you afterwards.
All right, okay.
Time to announce another project. This one comes from a member that also got something picked up through the Loglay contest, which you ran at the new year. It's Unavowed by Sereni Madhaven. Apologies if I pronounced your name wrong. Kyle, tell us a bit about this one.
Well, Sereni actually pitched two projects to us with the hope of getting one picked up. And this one really struck out to me. It's just about someone whose brother gets killed trying to stop a violent mugging. So obviously this character's brother was a hero. And let's just come to terms with the brother's death and sort of ensure it wasn't all in vain. Now, I like that's kind of, when I've written original material,
mm-hmm.
it's kind of been in that kind of, some of those themes. And I've got a short film on YouTube which deals with death and what you make of that. And so this one, for me, sort of just really hit all the right bases. And I also thought that for Sereni, who's going to produce this film now, and fair play to him, you know, he's writing it, filming it, could be a great, great little film, a lot easier to produce than maybe the other pitch.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I think it's something that people will be able to associate themselves, some of their own experiences with a bit more, hopefully not muggins of their family members, but
yeah,
well, the idea of loss and, you know, making sure it's not just a waste of life.
So it's the first video project that we've actually properly picked up in the past. Stuff that we've shown on the Compass Network has been already established and already made material, brought over, basically given a platform to. This one is being produced from the ground up, as it were. It's quite a longish one, he says it's going to be. He imagines it's going to be about 20 minutes, which will tell, obviously, a standalone story. It's actually really exciting for me, I think, finally getting a video project off the ground that I'm really excited to see what he comes up with. Unlike the audio projects, what advice can we give? Not a lot.
We're debuting through our YouTube channel, which will, I think we'll be getting a trailer, hopefully in July,
mm-hmm.
and full release in November, just mm-hmm. before Christmas. And we're just there to help. You know, I produced some little shorts myself, short films online, so if Sereni wants any help, just ideas or I think this is one of those things where you kind of leave it to them, and they come to you, and Srini will come and say, if you want to have a look at a cut or something, absolutely fine. But I think this is kind of one of those things where a lot of the stuff we offer is in the getting eyes on the material more than anything. You know, that's one thing that we do offer, is that we can bring a lot of eyes to new films or new scripts. Or, you know, got a lot of listeners for podcasts. I think that's one of the things that we're giving to all these new pieces of material now, is we're saying, we will champion you. You produce the material, and we'll champion you along. And I think that's the same with, I'd very much would love to give feedback to Srini on the material. But it's a couple of months. That's going to be the, of all the pitches picked up, that'll be the one that takes the longest to come out, because it takes the longest to do. You know, a film can just not go to film, just film it. You've got to write it, you've got to edit it. The editing can take ages, and I'm looking forward to that though.
The next project that we've got to announce was the first one that was pitched through the Pitch Frenzy, and it was one done by our very own Kyle West. Kyle. And basically, this is just your little pet project, isn't it, really?
I did go through the same process everyone else did, just to clarify. I didn't just put my own
Pick
my own pitch
stuff up.
yeah which you know if I wanted to, I could have probably forced something through. Anyway, but yeah, it's called Kingston and Glass. It's a webisode script series, so it'll be in like short 10, 15 page episodes, making up one big volume per story. I'll read out basically my pitch on it, because it's something that's been bugging me for weeks. It's been in my head, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna have to do something with it. But basically, for the longest time, superpowers were something that you only ever read about in comics, or saw in big budget Hollywood movies, or rubbish low budget ones. All that changes when a freak event gives countless people in the United Kingdom their very own unbelievable abilities. I don't know what that freak event is, mind. The only problem is, every single one of these fuckers decided to become a supervillain. All except one, that is. Enter Kevin Glass, the man with the ability to make your drink hot or cold simply by touching your cup. Before getting his superpower, Kevin was inspired by his surname to clean glass for a living, becoming a window cleaner. Although his superpower is shit, he's the only one who isn't using his abilities to cause mayhem across the country. So the government signed him up to their brand new task force, assigned to take down every one of these supervillains. His partner, the highly regarded Detective Wayne Kingston, a man who has screwed up his career too many times by breaking the rules to catch the bad guys. If you want to stop the supervillains, you want Kingston in your task force. But if you want to make sure he still pays the price for his past misdemeanors, you partner him up with Kevin Glass. They put the odd in odd couple, and Kingston fucking hates Glass. Join this supervillain fighting duo as they try to stop the bad guys, one webisode at a time.
So basically, it's Misfits, but with superheroes.
Essentially,
Supervillains,
yeah.
rather.
And it's going to be very tongue in cheek. I wouldn't call it a comedy so much, but it's not going to be serious. I think that's clear from the. I think the line, every one of these single fuckers decided to become a
Whenever
supervillain.
you swear in a pitch, that's it. It's no longer taking yourself seriously.
Oh, yeah. And I've just had this, it's been in my head for so long now. It's just like, I was thinking about heroes and projects, you know, where everyone got the eclipse or whatever it was, and
were
people
you
getting powers.
truth is, you were sitting with a cold cup of coffee, weren't you? And
yeah, and I thought, wouldn't it be great if I could just warm this by touching the cup?
Not quite the last one. The penultimate announcement is another podcast series. It also comes from RJ Olden Lackey, but he's partnering up with Stefan Lundjans. Oh, God. Why is he not here to help? Apologies again for pronouncing your name incorrectly. This project is called The Writer's Block. It's a podcast series that's been in Olden's head for a while, actually. He originally did a radio show, didn't he? A web radio show back in school, called The Signal, and basically it's kind of this kind of developed almost from that. And basically, the basic concept is two emerging screenwriters in Toronto, Canada, for anybody that doesn't know where that is, discuss screenwriting, Canadian, US, film and television industries, movie, TV series, and post-university life. And basically, it's just about them sitting down and having a good old chin wag, probably over a couple of bottle of wine, a couple of bottles of wine, probably.
Yeah, I think that pretty much will be it. Yeah, I think it'll be interesting. It accompanies the sort of educational side.
Yep.
of the of Compass. So I think as soon as Alden pitched it, we didn't know this pitch was coming in, by the way. It was just a random one that as soon as I read it, I thought, that's great. Even if Alden's name hadn't been attached to it, I'd be thinking, this helps. You know, Compass is about entertainment, but it's also about learning. And it's great to get a podcast. And you know, you're talking from people who are in the know, you know. Alden is going to be a screenwriter by living. If he's not already, he will be. You know, his money will come from that in the future. So to get his view on things and his partner, his friend, I think would be great for people who do want to do that for a living. Mm. And I think it'll probably get attention from people on other websites as well who maybe aren't answering some of the questions that Alden and his colleague will be able to answer on that show.
I think her name is probably Stephanie. that's probably what her name is, I think.
The username Snowy, so
yeah,
you need to search for their old show and
yeah, we'll just call her Snowy 2014. No, 2014, 2004.
It's a French name, isn't it? So you need to
yeah, I need to. Well, I should know, being a Newcastle United supporter, how to pronounce the name, but clearly not. We've got still one more to announce coming up, so keep listening for that one. Before we go to that, we will cut to a little ad break.
The greatest podcast series you've ever listened to. I really do not like making everything about me. This is an explicit adult-rated show. You look like you want to say something.
Yeah, I think you shouldn't be encouraging reckless drinking.
I feel really nervous now. Like, what have I let myself in for?
I'm Kyle West, and you can join me on my very own podcast series, The Kyle West Show, brought to you by The Compass Network, www.thecompassnet.com.
Having listened to that lovely advert of The Kyle West Show, we'll move to talking about another project, which is currently airing on the Compass Network, Caden Falls, which actually is one of the only projects to kind of come over from 10 with us. It's written by Dex Booklead, who's been a part of the community for a number of years now. The series originally aired 2 seasons on the Entertainment Network, and I think it originally started airing on VBC TV, I think was where it originated from, and I can't say what happened back then. It was sort of a bit of a blur, or I've just forgotten, but Dex kind of came over to what was 10 at the time, and we picked it up, and it ran, as I said, for 2 seasons and was brilliant, and we loved it. And when we shut down, as it were, and out of the ashes came Compass, we brought Dex along with us, and it's given him a chance again to look back and reflect on what he's written so far and make a few changes here and there, and actually kind of take the show in a little bit of a different direction this time around. So even for people that are familiar with it from its 10 days, can read it again and actually find something new from it. In fact, the pilot episode, which we're going to talk a little bit about now, I've actually read 3 kind of versions of this script over the years, from when it was originally, as I said, on 10, and now here on Compass. And the first script which I read was on VBC TV, so it's kind of gone through various incarnations. Kyle, you read the show quite a while ago, didn't you, originally?
Yeah, a while back.
Yeah.
Talking early days when I came on 10. So.
Yeah, obviously the basic premise of it, which is it's zombie apocalypse, and it all centres around the family, the Walkers, and the other family, which is the Andersons, which kind of come more prominently into the series in its Compass days. And basically the first episode in its basic terms is the start of the breakout of the, I guess we call it, the zombie apocalypse. Simply, and basically it's about how the family deal with it, and about how actually it's almost like generational thing, about where the parents react in one way and the kids react in another way, and about how actually they've got to work together as a family to survive this shitstorm which is about to come knocking through their front door. And it's quite a large family, kind of a typical American family. You know, you've got the older sons and the younger ones that are still kind of, you know, in college, or, you know, some of them are at university. So it's about them kind of getting together and all getting basically in one car and going off to Caden Falls, which doesn't necessarily mean that life is safe. You know, I'm sure they will encounter some difficult situations when they finally arrive at the camp, which they're setting off on at the end of the pilot. I read it again, and I love it every time I read it. And actually, something Dex is doing now is actually he's putting notes on the end of his scripts. So he's calling them post-show kind of notes. And basically, it gives us a little insight into kind of what he's thinking and what he was doing with the episode, and also kind of how it's changed over the course of the few years that he's been working on it. What are your thoughts on the pilot, Carl?
Oh, that's put me on the spot. It's been a long time since I read it, but... I like that Dex still feels that there's stuff he can add to it and change and polish, and I suppose that's always the case, isn't it? But for me, the entire show now is a very... It's up there now. I think it's something that might have started off as a rough show that mm-hmm. Dex himself would probably say wasn't 100% happy with throughout. For me, it's now one of the blockbuster shows.
Yeah.
Of all the ones that are on various sites that are similar to our own on the screenplay side of things, I think Dex has a clear idea what a show is now. And for me, it's up there with just its name power. I'd put alongside some of the other top shows from other places, Parcel View, you know, things like that. I'd include Caden Falls in that. And
moving on, we'll talk briefly about two of our existing podcast series that are currently airing. You're involved in both of them. they are your babies, aren't they?
Yes, and essentially The Beautiful Game, which is a football... soccer for any American listeners, and that football discussion show which you're on, and Pete Gaskell stars on as well. You can follow him at Pete D Gaskell on Twitter, and obviously The Kyle West Show. I think The Beautiful Game is approaching episode 20. I think we do episode 19 this week, don't we? So the big 20th one, which I can't think of.
Well, I think we would have been there if it hadn't been for that pesky Christmas.
You know? Yeah, we would have. We'd probably be on like 21, 22 now.
Yeah.
I think, you know, of all, there's podcasts been done by various websites who do some similar things to us, but I don't think any of them have got to a 20th episode of one given concept, which is what is an amazing feat for The Beautiful Game. So that's coming together quite well. It's grown. It's got a social media presence now. There's some of the topics are coming from stuff that Twitter users are suggesting to us, you know, lots of listeners. It's growing and growing. I think that show will just get bigger and bigger. That's a weekly show, going obviously with the football season. And then on the other side of that, we've got The Kyle West Show, which is just my solo show, where I do have some guests on there from time to time. I've had Mrs. West, that's the wife, she's been on there, and that is more of a, when I say lighthearted comedy entertainment kind of series. Talk about some things in entertainment. I talk about my rants of the week, things that annoy me. Talk about Miley Cyrus being naked, things like that. And that's doing tremendous business for what I initially planned for it. You know, it's had over 200 downloads now, and it's only on its fourth episode. And I think it's over 200. It's getting feedback. I get texts. I get Facebook messages. I get tweets, you know. It's that one's doing great, and it's just about growing and growing, and hopefully these shows will be useful to all the podcasts we've picked up from Pitch Frenzy. They can sort of look at what we're doing on those shows and go from there, because I think Compass has produced, I would have thought after this week or next week, Compass will have produced over 25 podcasts in its first 5 or 6 months in the go. So I think there's a lot for people to learn from. I'm not saying to the new show showrunners, so go listen to my show just to get hits, but I think go listen to my show, go listen to The Beautiful Game, and just see what they're doing now, because not those shows the way they are now has generally come from learning from those first couple of episodes. And they're doing great. There's an audience and a market there who wouldn't have come to Compass without those podcasts. So they're doing great.
The final project, I feel like we should put a drum roll in here. The final project that we decided to pick up as a part of Pitch Frenzy 2014 was The Bishop Files by Andrew Bishop. Tell us about that.
Andrew's going to be doing some movie reviews and rant about whatever he feels like ranting about. It's similar in a sense to The Kyle West Show, or to you know, to what Tony will be doing on The Black Hole. The difference is Andrew's from the other side of the world. He's going to talk about what's, you know, his films he hates, films he loves. He's going to tell us outright if a film's shit, even if we don't feel it's shit. He's not going to be worried to offend us. And I'm looking forward to to Andrew's, I said earlier about people's personalities and stuff coming through. I can't wait to get to know Andrew through his show. Yeah. I think he does watch a lot of movies. I think he likes his horror films, which isn't a genre, again, that I'm particularly interested in, I suppose, in a sense. I don't watch them very often, but I tend to know what's going on in that genre.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't necessarily sit down and watch them because I'm a bit squeamish like that. But I'm looking forward to seeing what Andrew thinks of these films and getting to know a bit of his taste. And it'd be great if Andrew ends up bringing guests and stuff on there. That would be amazing because these people, again, from the other side of the planet. And just getting to know someone else's. I'm a big lover of the podcast format and how you can get your personality through. And I'm looking forward to that with the Bishop of Fars. The one thing that did crack me up, though, was obviously he started using the term black hole a lot in his pitch, and obviously I knew that Tony was coming in with his pitch called the black hole. So he put a little smile on my face, but this is well deserved from Andrew. He's got a script series debuting in 2014 at another site, but he just missed out, I think, on the logline competition.
Yeah,
and I think a podcast room was great. I was pleasantly surprised when he said he was going to pitch podcast. So
how do you feel the new year and the events that have happened so far have changed Compass, and what lies ahead in 2014?
Oh, it's been a lot of work, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We've got our own homepage now, so it's not just when people go to thecompassnet.com, they don't just go to a forum, which they might be a bit foreign to them, that kind of idea. They actually go to a homepage which has our top headlines, has direct links to some of the new releases or to our shows, and it's got our tweets and stuff on there. So that was a big thing for us.
In integrating the social network as well.
Because we aren't stupid. You know, we see that the future is on the social media side of things, and the more you can integrate that into your site, the better. I think we've gone in, we went into Christmas, or went into hashtag the new year, with no new shows planned. Films, there's a couple that have been pitched, but we haven't announced anything.
Mm-hmm.
And we've come out now with still without announcing those ones, you know, there's still a few announcements to be made, but we've come out now with 12 new projects.
Yep.
Five screenplays, two webisode shows, one movie, and three or four podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot of content, and that's going to have us kicking on in 2014, so I'm really excited about that. I wouldn't have ever anticipated that much material being greenlit in our first 6 months. And I think all the little changes, the new logo mm-hmm. is a beautiful creation. Takes us up just one level again, maybe more than one level. You know, that's a professional logo that we've got now that we can hang our hat on as we try to grow Compass. I think when we opened... No, Dan, you might agree with me. I think we talked the talk about what we were going to offer the internet and how we were going to be different from our competitors. Because, you know, we were a smaller site before that, weren't we? Well, 10 was a smaller site.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked the talk. And I'd say when we opened, maybe people thought, well, this is great. But you're not really walking the walk. Yeah, where is all this stuff you're promising? Where's the homepage? Where's all this content? And like that's why I said earlier about it being a soft launch when we opened Compass, because we knew these things were coming later, but we knew they were going to come over the first 6 to 18 months. Mm. Compass was never an impact launch thing. It was like, we're open now.
Because the thing is we can't do this all ourselves. We couldn't just come out and go, you know, I barely write a word. And you have the same project on the go for years.
Yeah.
And Old, you know, is brilliant, obviously, and does produce lots of stuff, but he couldn't do it on his own. And, you know, it took time. And, you know, we kind of selfishly chose to concentrate on the Beautiful Game a little bit and try and establish that and get it going as almost a precedent, I suppose, to say, look, you know, it can be done. And this is what we're doing. And you may not be interested in this, but how about the Carl West show? Because now we're doing that too. And, you know, through these two contests, we've now got this and that and loads of stuff that people hopefully are going to be interested in and talk about. And, you know, it's not just on the forum. It is about talking about it on Twitter and on Facebook, because, you know, these mediums are so easy to talk, you know, to talk on now. You know, everybody's got apps on their phones and, you know, on their iPods and stuff that, you know, allows them to quite easily... You know, say, oh, I've just listened to the Kyle West show, it was great. Or I've just watched this short film and I thought it was brilliant. you don't necessarily have to go on the forum and do it, because that can be quite difficult if you're not sat in front of a PC or on a laptop.
Yeah, you know, the amount of clicks it takes to get to that forum,
yeah,
and to write a reply, you could have sent 10 tweets.
So until we see each other all again on the Compass Echoes, whenever we decide to release the next one, whenever we've got something else to tell you, it's goodbye from me, and goodbye, I'm sure, from Kyle West as well. You can follow us on Twitter, compass_net. Or you can follow me personally at DTT240991. Or you can follow Kyle at Kyle Thomas West. Thank you for joining us, and goodbye.
And congratulations to all the winners of Pitch Frenzy.